Jai Guru.
Jai Guru.
Trish, I'm asking you to start your video. Your video, come on. There you go. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Trish. I guess I am on there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm so as my sister, Pam Connor, today.
Oh, you want me to change it? I can change it back to Keith if you want.
Oh, for some reason, it's not very loud. I can barely hear. Starting a use of this computer, so.
It's all good. I just put Keith.
Yeah.
Okay. John, I can't see myself.
Oh, hold on. Let's ask to start your video. There you go. There you are.
Hi. Hi.
Hello, hello. Last week we forgot to do the speaker view when we were all in the little boxes and we got some comments about that, so we're back in our little speaker view again. I forgot last week, so sorry for all the people who didn't like to see us in little boxes.
Better.
Yeah, we can hear you, Keith. Are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I turned it up. I thought there might be video on this, but I guess.
Well, you have to. I can ask you to start your video, and if you have video, you'll be able to. All you have to do is say yes, and then the video will turn on.
Well, I guess
Depending on what kind of computer, though, because some computers will have a little slide thingy over the camera for, like, privacy.
Yeah.
And you might have to unslide that.
Just start my video.
There you go. And there you are.
Yeah.
For the first time in 4 years or 5 years, we are seeing Keith.
It has form.
Oh, there we go.
First time, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It makes me feel more like a form when I can see it.
Yeah.
Good money.
Now we're on an even playing field now, where you guys have always had to put up with your faces. Now I have to
put up with yours,
a few people we haven't heard from or seen for a while, but that always happens. It's happened over the years.
Yeah, there are a few folks that dropped off. Kathleen and I forgot his name, and he was with us for years, and now I forgot his name.
Andrew,
thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And we haven't heard from Rami lately.
That's true.
He's got bad hours, so.
Yeah, he's in a totally different time zone than he was.
Yeah. So
With a new job, that's kind of a hard.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then there was the other guy who we haven't heard from, who I also forgot his name.
Someone named Jordan.
I think it was Jordan. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. I'm not afraid to fiddle about like I sometimes. I guess I could tell you, my mom recently, or about over a month ago now, she passed.
Sorry.
But it was time, appropriate time. Could have been sooner, actually. She was suffering a fair amount towards the end there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are wise. The Buddhists believe that, although they are concepts, but the Buddhists believe that a form is not enlightened until the mother disappears. You know, so.
Oh yeah.
Now, it's a good concept. You know, especially in those moments. You know, although everything is you. You know, she's you. You're her.
Yeah.
It's all thing. We can't escape that reality. We know that for sure. Yeah. But it's a good concept, you know.
Of course, concepts like that almost make you feel separate.
Yeah, until you realize that the seed, that it's not a tree. Our parents weren't trees, but were just other seeds that opened. That their ability to create this world facilitated our observation, you know? And she was just a seed going through her things, and you're just another seed. You know, what connects us is just that invisible thing, you know, that we talk about, that we get together here to talk about. And that is deathless, as we know, you know? That is conceptless. So, but my condolences to the body, of course.
Thank you.
It's only right. It's only right.
Yeah, like the stuff John was talking about last week, I listened to the whole thing again. And right at the end, the very last words were, you can never lose yourself.
Correct. You always are. You're the only constant. Without you, nothing else is. It's just the wrong identification with the body that gets confusing. And, you know, the body, it's a body factory, basically, with this formlessness sort of clicking and saying, oh, I'm this. But it's all of these, just like in a dream, again, we have to go back to that example, because in a dream, all of these characters, everything that's going on within the dream is your own self. And you know this, because you wake up and you say, oh, I had a very good dream, or I had a very bad dream. But you absolutely know that it all arose from you, that there couldn't have been any separation, and there couldn't have been any individuality, although there was the appearance as such, because of the concept of bodies in a world. There's a sense of separation, and there's the concept of otherness. It's just not true. You know, rabbits make rabbits, donkeys make donkeys, humans make humans, horses make horses, simply because of it's just a body factory. And then we sit there and say, oh, this is mom. This is not actually mom. This is a lump of goo animated by the formless presence that you are. that when that presence, that body can no longer sustain the essence, then the presence is no longer there in the body, and yet the body is there in presence. There's no separation. The space in the room clicks, and for the first time knows I exist. And because of this wrong perception of existence, I see a room, but I lose sight of the fact that I'm the space and not the body, because I now know myself. This is the first time I've ever known that I exist. The space in the room is always there. It's always space. It can't be divided, whether you say kitchen or living room or dining room or bedroom. Space is space. If the whole building comes down, space is still space. But when space limits itself and identifies itself with a specific object due to the fact that, oh, I see, I'm a seer and I see things. And these things I don't know are inside the space that I am. I believe them to be something separate because now I believe myself to be an object within the space rather than the space. This is all the wrong files, as Maharaj says, and the mantra removes these files slowly, silently, and permanently. Without a body, then I don't identify as an individualized something or as a limited something. If I know I'm not a body, and Master says, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body, I can look around and I could say, so I'm more like the space in the room. And if I'm more like the space in the room, that means everything is contained within myself. And the only reason I thought it wasn't was because I was limiting myself by identifying myself with an object within the space. But I'm formless. First Master says I'm formless. Then through meditation, I discover this formless nature. And now I absolutely know. I'm no longer confused about being an object within the space. I know I'm the space for a time using this body to experience this room. But in reality, the room is an appearance within my own self, the space. And I just don't get confused anymore. I say, oh, okay. And now I don't have to say I am the space and all these things are inside myself because there's just a knowing. And now if I hear things like death and birth and chakras and all this, then I get confused because I say, wait a minute, I'm the space. The chakras are talking about a body that's within myself that is not me. So therefore the concept is true due to the wrong identification. But once I identify myself correctly, the concept cannot be true. And then I think about birth and death. Okay, if I've identified as the space, and I know this, I know myself in a real sense, when they talk about death, what happens after I leave the body? Well, the body isn't within me. When this body drops, it's within me. So where do I go? But I'm everywhere, so there's nowhere I'm not. So this body is just going to drop inside the space that I am and return back to the five elements, which are also within my own self, because nothing's separate. So I have to really contemplate when I hear like, okay, this religion or that religion or this idea or that concept or this concept, I can say, okay, within the body-based illusion, that can be true. But I know it's false because any concept that came along with the body is false because I'm not a body. So it's just my wrong identification with the body where I say, like, there's a spiritual journey. Well, how can there be a spiritual journey if I'm the space in the room? If I misidentify myself as an object within my own self and I get kind of lost, and I pick up thoughts that I'm something, and I think about other things, like you say, oh, well, if I'm the space, I still have to pay my rent. Well, because you are an object within your own self. And in that illusory world, there is the concept of rent and housing. It's not true, but for a time, as long as you're using a body, these concepts will come along. They're the sticky concepts. You need shelter. Why do you need shelter? Because you're identified with the body. Now, if you go outside and you say, okay, I'm the space, and it's 40 degrees right now, actually, probably more than that. It's a little bit chilly here. So if it's 30 degrees and you're like, I'm the space and this and that, well, this is also, as Maharaj says, this is not practical spirituality. This is the crazy thinking. Just like I don't need a job, I can go and beg for alms and all this kind of stuff. This is also not real spirituality. Real spirituality is to know yourself in a real sense. And while you're within this body-based illusion, you enjoy. No, there's no trouble because you're the space. No concept of birth and death because you weren't born, you won't die. One day you won't be identified with the body, and that can happen now. And then you can say to yourself, okay, when the body goes, where, what happens to me? Well, you're the space that for a time was experiencing a world through a body. But it's not true. That's why there's no gain, no loss. Because everything that you're talking about with your body form is just not the truth. The body's going to decay. This is true. Within the formlessness that you are, the body will appear to decay. But this is just an appearance. Just as we can look on the screen and see ourselves, the reflection of ourselves, like this little box here, if somebody came along, like here I am, and somebody came along and smacked this box, and I didn't, that's not me. Like that's a projection of my own self. And see, now when I'm speaking, I can look at myself and know that this is a projection and the speaker is speaking, but the speaker is formless. And the speaker is one and the same. But on the screen, all the bodies are appearing different. And therefore we say, John, Paul, Trish, Alan, and Keith, and so and so and so. But it's not true. And that's why Maharaj says, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space. Of course, you're not like sky or space, but at least if you're going to make a comparison of yourself in some way, because that's the mind that says, I need to know. I need to know something. Like, I need to compare. I need to have apple and orange. And which one am I more alike? Neither. But for... For purposes of trying to say, okay, if at all you want to compare, you compare yourself to sky or space. And then ask the question from that perspective, rather than the appearance on the screen. Should I meditate? Well, I've identified myself with a body form. If I identify myself with a body form and I ask the question, should I meditate? The answer is, of course I should meditate because I still believe there's a meditator that can meditate. If I identify myself with the space, how will this question appear? Should the space meditate and on what? Even spending time with you. This is only, again, because there's still some identification there. The space in the room, if you could say, spend some time with you, I'd be like, what? Like, I don't understand this question. Unless, of course, I'm identified with the body form. And then I can say, oh, spend some time with me. Meaning, while I'm in this body form, I spend some time with my true self, my formless nature. But once I'm formless, and this is impressed, my mind stops sending me these messages of do this, do that. The space in the room is not doing anything. And while the space in the room knows it's the space using the body, then the body can move around quite nicely doing all these things without any identification whatsoever, because the knowledge never goes away. You know, once you're told you're a man or a woman, you're not thinking, am I really a man? Am I really a woman? No, it's just that's what is this belief. You're told, you don't have to keep repeating it. So once you know yourself in a real sense, you don't have to keep repeating, oh, I know myself in a real sense. Oh, I'm formless. Aham brahmasmi soham shivoham. No, nothing, because now you're just you. Now you absolutely know that you're the space moving around within yourself, using this body and experiencing what it's like to be in a room. But the room is a concept that's within your own self that is only there when you click with a body and say, I am in something. And the space doesn't know its space. So that's where the confusion comes. Oh, I see a world. I'm alive. This is not true. This experience of birth and death is a very short time, just like a long dream. When the body goes, dream is over. Then you say, oh, what did I lose? Well, dream tonight. And you could dream that you started as a small child, grew up to be a young man, then got an older man, then passed away in a nursing home, or have more happily just enjoying yourself out on the whatever. And then you wake up. So you dreamt a life that wasn't true, but really you were fully involved in the life that you believed was happening at the time because it appeared to you. And there was a belief in it, an instant belief that I'm in this dream, and it, not a dream, but that I'm living. That's why sometimes people will have dreams they're a mouse or they're a cat or something like that in the dream. And then wake up, oh no, that was just a dream.
We are dreaming that we are dreaming. We are dreaming that we are awake.
We're dreaming the dream of separation. I am somebody else.
I think I am thinking.
Yeah, you think you are thinking.
but it takes something other than thought to think, so... Oh. I can't be a thought, so I can't be thinking.
We create the concept of the thinker by attaching identification with thought. In other words, I am thinking this thought. Not true. And plus, you can kill that right away, because mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. You're prior to having a body. Prior to being this, you are. After leaving the body, you are. So this body and all of that came along with it is just part of the illusion, the something that appeared within the nothing.
Some teachers like to say that it's consciousness doing everything. But then in this teaching, it's more like, there's nothing happening, or nothing being done.
Well, it's only your true position. It's not a teaching. This is identified your own self. Mm-hmm. And if you're formless, think about, again, the space in the room. And now this space suddenly knows it exists in this body form and sees a room, sees objects in a room, sees other people in the room, hears speaking and listening in the room. Again, you can easily just, this clicks very easily, thinking about a dream. When you lay down at sleep, this dream world is created formlessly. Now, you could say consciousness is creating it, whatever, but let's get rid of these words. Because in reality, everything that can appear is false. It's not your own self. It's on your presence, projected. So if we go into the body-based delusion, then all these so-called, like you said, these spiritual teachings, and they start to try and make sense because we're using our mind, which is there for logic, but that mind came along with the body. You are not body. So what does it matter what the mind says? You're not mind. What does it matter what the body does? You're not body. So you don't have to think about any of these things. And eventually your mind will get trained, so to speak, to seek yourself and not other objects, because you know yourself in a real sense. Then there's no mind, no ego, no intellect, no nothing, nothing, nothing. Just a form that's moving about quite nicely. And that's where Maharaj says, you pick up the tea, you drink it, you put it down. Pick up the tea, drink it, put it down. But fully there. But after you put the tea down, it's down, it's done. Okay, after you drink it, you don't sit there and drink the tea and then say, okay, where is that tea in my body right now in this moment? How is this? Most of your actions are spontaneous actions, and this is just, you know this. And a lot of times you'll know that most of your actions are spontaneous actions. It's only when the doership, the sense of I am doing something, comes in that you say it's not a spontaneous action because I thought about doing it and then I did it. But again, this is like taking credit for things after the fact.
Nisargadatta always used the urination as an example.
Yeah.
How many people get up and say, I'm going to the bathroom? You're not going to the bathroom. You thought about it. You should have just silently gone, and it probably would have been a real experience. But you already thought about it. It's already in the past. It's already hurting the bladder, you know. That's a good example, you know. That took me a while to do that, you know. It's such a common thing to say, oh, I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah, I'm not going. We take credit for things we can't even control that.
Well, even eating, you're not the one eating. The body is using muscles to feed itself more food to grow, because this is a food body. But the formlessness that you are has never eaten anything. How? Like, the space in the room can't eat. Unless there's a body form in which the mind, ego, intellect says, I am hungry. I put some food in my mouth. I chew it. I eat it. The body grows. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you know, when you're identifying with the body, you're identifying with like spit, like just gunk, just, and you eat and this body form grows. And that's all it is. It's food. That's why Ramakant Maharaj says it's a food body. It's made of food. And yet you say, this is me. But this is a food body. And even the food body is within your own self, because it's the something that appeared in the nothing. And nothing is not a bad, scary word unless you conceptualize and say, well, now I'm something. And what happens when I'm nothing? It's reverse. I'm nothing. What happens when I'm something? What happens when you're something? A lot of pain and suffering and tragedies and all this kind of stuff. Yes, good times, but always also measured out with bad times. because now you're something. So this, instead of saying, oh, I'm something, and when I become nothing, that's a very sad thing. No, when you were nothing, everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. And now that you're pretending to be something, there's trouble. And plus, you're in a form that if this form is sick or whatever, it's identified as, oh, I'm sick. And even if you're not identified, this form is a very fragile thing, but you're not. You're eternal, immortal. Nothing can damage you. That's why they say, like, when the dissolution of the universes happen, I am there. When Jesus was talking, before Abraham was, I am. And once that click, that conviction, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Body's not my identity at all. Birth and death, I'm not body. Concept doesn't make sense. And these concepts, they won't make sense. They're, even if you try to entertain them, how can I die? I wasn't born. If there's depression or something like that, okay, it's a disturbance in the five elements. I'm not touched by this unless I identify that I'm depressed. When I use that I and put it on anything, then there's an identification. I'm depressed. I'm sad. No, depression is there because the five elements, there's a disturbance. Sadness is there. There's a disturbance in the five elements. And perhaps also there's identification with a train of thought, like my mom died. But of course, then the deepest understanding is all relations came along with the body and I'm not a body. There was the appearance of my mom dying, but in reality, my mom is that formless presence. And so if I'm identifying as an individual, as something, the closest I can be to my mom or any relative that's passed is remaining with my selfless self. That's anyone who's ever been and whoever will be is here. And so now the sadness, the concept of sadness is sucked into that black hole. Because there's not a mind flow identifying with this person, this dear person is no longer here. And then identifying with a stream of memories about this person. Because they're not a person, I'm not a person. I know myself in a real sense. There they are. And just like Maharaj, when Maharaj left the body, that was an extremely painful thing because it was like a father, basically, had passed. I had a very strong bond with Maharaj. And when that happened, it was like, oh, and all the devotees, they were crying and sad, and we were all WhatsApping each other. And it was a very difficult time. But knowing, there's Maharaj. Because this is Maharaj. And Maharaj knew this without any doubt. So remaining with your selfless self, there's Maharaj. That feeling, just I, that subtle presence, there's Maharaj. And now it's just like, oh, thank you, Master. Previously, I might have had to have traveled to India to be with Maharaj, and now I can just fall back into myself, and there's Maharaj. Master says he's always with you, and there he is. There's Maharaj. No need to go to India. No need to even converse other than, oh, thank you, Master. And so now where's the sadness? And this can be done with any body relation. Just remain with yourself, the self. This is the presence that at one time believed itself to be mom, dad, sister, brother, cousin, aunt, uncle, son, daughter. And you. Oh, it looks like wow, this one went fast.
Yes.
Oh. Like a minute more and we're all gonna magically disappear.
Oh. I'm out. Jai Guru.
Namaste.
Same.